for WMRA News, I'm Bob Levakin. UVA says a number of students there have been suffering from and passing around the norovirus. Also, a federal court hears a challenge to Virginia's so-called habitual drunkard law, and a bill that would have given localities such as Charlottesville control over Confederate monuments has died in the General Assembly. This is the WMRA Daily for Thursday, January 31st.
Support for the WMRA Daily comes from the shops at Stonefield at Route 29 and Hydraulic Road in Charlottesville, featuring a collection of shopping, dining, and entertainment experiences with parking available. Learn more at shopsatstonefield.com.
The University of Virginia has confirmed cases of norovirus among its students. The university confirmed the cases on Tuesday, but has not provided an estimate on the number of suspected cases. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says the virus is highly contagious and can cause vomiting and diarrhea. UVA said in an email that the virus is most contagious from the onset of symptoms to a couple of days after recovering from the virus, but the virus can continue to be spread for 2 weeks or more after those with norovirus are feeling better. The university says the most effective protection is to frequently wash your hands with soap and water. The 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals heard arguments Wednesday on whether being homeless and alcoholic is illegal under Virginia law. From partner station WCVE, Charles Fishburne reports.
Four homeless alcoholics from both Richmond and Roanoke are challenging the state's so-called habitual drunkard law
that allows the state to imprison people who are alcoholics.
Carl Tobias, law professor at the University of Richmond.
Some people who are homeless and alcoholics have challenged it and said, under Supreme Court precedent, this basically criminalizes a status rather than an act.
One of the named defendants is Richmond Commonwealth Attorney Michael Herring, who has said the law is used sparingly and protects everybody. A lower court dismissed the suit. A three-judge panel of the Fourth Circuit agreed, but in a very unusual action, the entire Fourth agreed to rehear it.
University of Virginia's Weldon Cooper Center just released figures showing that Virginia's population is growing, but at a slower rate than the rest of the nation. And Charles Fishburne has that story.
Since 2010, Virginia's population has increased from 8 to 8.5 million.
But Virginia's population is growing at the slowest rate since the 1920s.
Hamilton Lombard, state demographer at the University of Virginia, says it's because more people are moving out than moving in.
There's a couple likely reasons. The biggest one is the federal budget sequestration, which began in 2013. Out-migration from Virginia picked up then. A secondary reason is that Virginia generally doesn't attract retirees and typically loses them. As more and more baby boomers are retiring, we are seeing more out-migration.
The annual report is used by lawmakers for planning and allocating money. Charles Fishburne, WMRA News.
Well, now to some General Assembly news. A House bill that would have given local governments control over Confederate monuments was defeated Wednesday. From WCVE, Roberto Roldan reports.
This was the second year in a row that Delegate David Toscano sponsored the bill, motivated by the damage caused by the white supremacist rally in Charlottesville in 2017. Lisa Drain is a resident of Charlottesville who says her daughter was severely injured by a man who drove his car into a crowd of counter-protesters. Drain asked members of the Republican-controlled subcommittee to imagine if their child was injured because of a statue.
I feel like the trauma that our community experienced should allow us the ability to choose whether we want to have these objects that inspire hate and violence in our public spaces.
The bill was voted down, with Democratic delegate Steve Heretic siding with Republicans.
That's Roberto Roldan from partner station WCVE. Also, a Virginia State Senate committee has delayed a major casino bill until at least next year. The Senate Finance Committee agreed on Wednesday to require more study before another vote in 2020. Republican Majority Leader Tommy Norment proposed the plan to stop any local referendums on casinos until a comprehensive gambling study is done. The bill orders the state's Joint Legislative Audit and Review Commission to conduct the study by November 1st. The plan diminished the hopes of casino supporters as the legislative session approaches the halfway point this year. Abortion remains one of the hottest issues in the General Assembly, and that issue blew up on the floor of the House of Delegates and social media on Wednesday. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope has the story.
Mr. Speaker, point of personal privilege.
Delegate has the floor.
That Speaker of the House, Kirk Cox, making a rare floor speech, walking off the dais and speaking from desk number 79. the seat he was assigned as a freshman lawmaker.
I vowed in 1990 to do everything I could to save the unborn and protect life. Frankly, my record has been spotty at best.
So Speaker Cox says he'll be redoubling his efforts. His speech came in the wake of a viral video showing a Democratic lawmaker testifying in a committee hearing about an unsuccessful bill to ease restrictions on late-term abortions. After the speaker finished and returned to the dais, Democratic leader Eileen Fillerkorn took to the floor to blast the viral video as a cheap political stunt.
The video showed was one of our members answering questions about a specific bill, deliberately misleading, and clearly was part of an orchestrated ambush.
The bill has already been spiked, so the speeches were less about policy and more about politics. This is an election year, and lawmakers on both sides of this issue want to make sure voters know where they stand. Reporting from the Capitol in Richmond, I'm Michael Pope.
Finally today, a bipartisan push to raise the tobacco purchasing age from 18 to 21 is hurtling through the General Assembly. Republicans are mostly on board, as is the Democratic governor. But support and opposition for the bill may not fall where you'd expect, Virginia Public Radio's Mallory Nopain reports.
It was a hearing to discuss raising Virginia's tobacco purchasing age, and lawmakers did as they always do. They asked if anyone in the audience wanted to speak in favor of the bill.
Altria supports raising the minimum age to purchase tobacco products to 21.
That's Jennifer Hunter with the tobacco giant Altria. The company has been a vocal supporter of the measure, which would apply not just to cigarettes, but also electronic smoking devices.
We believe it is the most effective step available to begin reversing the rise of underage e-vapor rates.
If you think that's surprising, wait till you hear the opposition, the American Cancer Society, and the American Heart Association. Ashley Bell with the AHA says the fact that a tobacco company supports the measure should give lawmakers pause. She says raising the tobacco age doesn't do anything to change lax enforcement.
The youth access laws, the way they exist in Virginia now, are not strong enough to support the enforcement of raising the age. And in fact, they may not be strong enough to support the current age.
She'd rather see more oversight, plus a strong licensing system for stores that sell tobacco, just like Virginia has for alcohol retailers. That would involve training to ensure employees know how to properly ID. And if a retailer was caught selling to underage users, their license could be revoked. The American Cancer Society says steps like that have had greater impact in other states. And they call raising the purchasing age a feel-good measure.
We know that the sponsors are well-intentioned, and we certainly support what they're trying to do, but we need a little bit more time to figure out the right way to do it.
Republican Delegate Chris Stolle says perfect shouldn't be the enemy of good, and there isn't time to wait. With the rapid spread of vaping among kids, he claims even a single year can make a difference.
We just saw a recent report by the Surgeon General that indicated that there was almost a doubling of the use in middle and high schools, and they use the term epidemic.
Many younger students get Juuls, a name brand e-cigarette, from older siblings or friends. About 80% of Virginia's graduating seniors are 18. Supporters say raising the tobacco age to 21 would make it less likely the small devices will pop up in schools. Will Kobzanski is a senior and student journalist. He doesn't smoke himself, but for his school paper, he surveyed more than 50 classmates.
It was happening everywhere, in the bathroom and on buses. And then the other thing I learned was that people were, you know, taking hits off of their Juul and then exhaling the vapor into their backpack while the teacher wasn't looking.
Kobzanski does think raising the purchasing age could help, but the real problem is the product itself, a tiny USB-shaped device that doesn't produce smoke.
When it's, you know, incredibly easy to conceal from a teacher, and then the flavors, when, you know, you're able to vape in mango or creme brulee, then it makes it even more appealing to kids.
Juul did recently halt the production of those flavors, but Kobzanski says that ultimately, when there's a product with a potent hit and an addictive high, teenagers are going to want it, and they're going to get their hands on it. Altria recently bought a $13 billion stake in Juul Labs. In Richmond, I'm Mallory Nopain.
For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Thursday.